the All-Star game. Gator, the Tigers need to make improvements to their roster. It's evident to all that follow them. I'm not panicked as it's on the Tigers to improve this team. And if they want to be taken serious, then they'll only make one move. They need three or four moves to be made. That's where the last part is. You want to see three or four as opposed to just one to be taken seriously, I guess. Look, best record in baseball or most wins in baseball at this point at the All-Star break. They're not playing great going into the break with losing four in a row. But as we've seen all season long, when the Tigers have a losing streak, they respond, and they respond really well. I'm curious to see how they come out in this second half of the season or the last 75 games of the regular season. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll win the division. They'll make the playoffs. But I also think they have to make the moves. Absolutely. Three or four to be made? I think that's probably pushing it. Unless you're including moves of maybe some promotions and some demotions, if that's the case. They've got a couple of pitchers at Toledo that could help this team out in the bullpen that I'd like to see. But my first move is to go get major league pitchers in the bullpen that make this bullpen better. So I think for me, it's a couple of bullpen moves from outside the organization, in addition to taking a look at some guys within the organization. In the bullpen specifically. I think the bullpen needs to be reworked and refortified, because right now, I mean, you have confidence. I have confidence in Will Vest for sure. And Tommy Canley has been great this season up until the last couple of outings. And in three of his last six outings, he has been horrible. In those three outings, he's given up, I think it's 12 earned runs without recording an out. That's horrible. And did not see that coming, but hopefully that's just a blip, and that's what balloons your ERA, and you want to take a deeper look and recognize that the rest of the time outside of those three bad outings, he's been great. So I still have faith in Canley. So it's Canley invest for me. Beyond that, yeah, I think you can find upgrades with every bullpen arm that they have. Tyler Holton has not had the season that he had last year, not even close, and hasn't earned the trust back. You've got all the other H's on this team with Hanafy and Herter and Hernandez that aren't looking special either. So, yeah, I'm looking to improve that in the next couple weeks at the trade deadline. Do they need to add another bat to the lineup? I don't think that's necessary. A starting pitcher? I don't think they need to add a starting pitcher. But if you can find a starting pitcher that makes sense, go do it. If you can find a bat in the lineup, another player to bolster the lineup, and it's someone that you think can fit in this team, go do it. But in order to find that person in the lineup, you have to find a space for them, and someone's going to have to be removed from their space. And the Tigers have above-average hitters all throughout the lineup. There aren't many holes. You know, if you have a starting lineup, the hole right now is in center field with Parker Meadows, because he's just not performed as well as he did in the second half of last year when he hit 300. You've got a hole at shortstop if you start Trey Sweeney there, because he's not hitting all that well. He had a stretch of time, like a two-week period, where he hit great, but outside of that, not so much, and the OPS is down. Unfortunately, the solution to most of those problems is Javi Baez. So maybe they can go ahead and add another bat to the lineup. I don't think that the Matt Vierling is the solution. Or that he's a savior of some kind. I think he's another bat to have in a lineup, and if he gets back on track, it's an above-average bat to have in a lineup, but I don't know how much above-average it is. I suspect that Zach McKinstry, his production will come down a little bit because this is so kind of out of left field for him, but I love what he's doing. I mean, I think he deserved to be in the All-Star game, but any move that's made is going to have some kind of ripple effect on the rest of the roster, particularly if it's for a guy that everybody wants, which is like Eugenio Suarez, the third baseman for Arizona, who got hit on the hand last night, hit on the pinky, but apparently he's fine, stayed in the game. But if you're going to add that bat to the lineup, it's a great bat to add, a power bat to the lineup. Not a great average, but boy, he smokes the ball. He's got 29 home runs going into the break, but he's not the greatest defensive third baseman. He's okay. But that would send a ripple effect, because then where do you play Zach McKinstry, where do you play Cole Keith? These are two guys that are way above average with OPS that you have to relocate. So it's going to be tough. But those are the decisions. That's Scott Harris. That's AJ Hinch. And we'll see what they do about that, if anything. Gator, are the rabbits gone? The young rabbits. Some of us have been following the saga with great interest. Okay, I'm glad you asked that. With regards to the baby bunnies that I discovered in my house literally 2 weeks ago. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow that it was brought to my attention that there are baby bunnies living in the middle of my backyard. I tried to protect them because the hole that they were in, the rabbit hole they were in, was completely exposed and was now just a ditch in the middle of my backyard because the dog got out there and she was digging at it. I don't think the dog ate any of the bunnies. There were four bunny rabbits there. It was brought to my attention by a landscaper that said, hey, look at this. I'm like, oh, no. So I tried covering the hole a little bit with some sticks and a log, and then eventually I added a chair on top of it to keep the dog, when I would let her out in the backyard, from agitating the rabbits or sticking her nose in and grabbing them or whatever that she could do, because these were literally born within a week of me finding them. So now it's been a couple weeks. The other day, one of the rabbits, when Lois was, my dog was checking it out, she chased one of them out of the ditch, out of its protective little cave there. A rabbit came flying out and she went after it and was kind of on top of it. I had to grab the dog, and then a rabbit hopped through the fence, and I was amazed at how much they had grown. These rabbits are like three times the size of what they were just 2 weeks ago. Before, they were like 2-3 inches long. Now they're like, they look like baby rabbits. They're like good sized rabbits now. So I don't know how much longer they're going to be. I think I'm going to have these in my yard for maybe another week or so, and then they will literally leave the nest. In the meantime, I replaced the chair with a bigger item to shelter them from the dog in the backyard, which is a patio coffee table that I have out there now. So Lois can't really get in there. She sticks her nose a little bit, but she really can't get to where the rabbits are unless the rabbits want to come close. But that's where we're at right now, and I'm hoping that the saga ends quickly, because I'd like to be able to just let the dog run loose in the backyard without fear of her ripping apart a baby rabbit. Gator and Kang, the swing-off was awesome, as was the whole All-Star Game festivities. The Home Run Derby to Hank Aaron tribute also was great. Smoltz is as good as an analyst as well. That's from Tom in Plymouth. Yeah, I just really like the whole presentation of what we saw with the All-Star Game. Now, part of it is getting these player interviews. And I thought it was cool last night, if you're watching any of the pregame show, they sat Scooble and Skeens were sitting next to each other. And can we stop with the trade Paul Skeens to Detroit stuff? It's not going to happen. But it was just cool to see those guys talking with each other and how much they respect each other, and you know, realizing that that's our guy who's going to start this All-Star game. And even though it didn't work out well for him last night, it was still cool to see. But some of the other things that happened, all these players get interviewed by the media during the course of Monday at the Derby or yesterday at the, you know, at the red carpet stuff or whatever, and they're being interviewed all the time. Pete Alonso, the first baseman, the big slugger for the Mets, was speaking at, this is from, I think this is, might be Sports Illustrated, but he said, while speaking to the media ahead of the 25 All-Star game, Alonso is making his fifth All-Star appearance, suggested that players should not get ejected for charging the mound or fighting. Instead, he believes Major League Baseball should follow hockey style, which tolerates fighting to happen between players during games. Here's what Pete Alonso said. If there's one rule I could change, I don't think people should get ejected after charging the mound or fighting. So I think it should be hockey style. No teams, no nothing. That's when people like get seriously get hurt. If you go out and charge the mound, then you should be able to. But if the pitcher or hitter or whoever charges, if they don't want to fight, they take a knee and they don't have to fight. But if someone charges the mound, it's one-on-one, hockey style, and then that's it. All right, so this is a wild idea. And it's one because there is fighting in hockey, even though Gary Bettman has tried to legislate it out of the sport, it's still there. And it's tougher now because guys wear full shields and you're punching guys in a helmet now more than you ever did. But, you know, hopefully you get the helmet off and then it just becomes an old-fashioned hockey fight. The NBA, I mean, fighting used to happen in the NBA all the time. In the 70s, it was ridiculous how much they fought. We saw in the 80s with the Bad Boy Pistons that they would fight all the time. And, you know, now it doesn't happen as much. There's lots of pushing and shoving, but people, you don't see a whole lot of punches being thrown now. I often thought to myself, what would happen in the NBA if they allowed players to square off and fight? Baseball used to have epic brawls back in the 60s and in the 70s. We saw it with the Tigers even into the 80s. With an Al Cowens incident against the White Sox. We saw it again with the White Sox with Rob Fick and the guys. And I think Todd Jones was part of it. Doug Brocale part of it. A crazy fight. I remember one with the Royals that took place. They do happen, but they don't happen anywhere near as much as they used to. The idea that if a player charges the mound, that nobody would jump in, like that the first baseman isn't going to come and tackle the guy who's the hitter who's charging the mound, or that the catcher's not allowed to tackle him or get in the way. I don't think it's logical to think they would ever get to that level. However, it's interesting to think about it because clearly people like fighting in sports. There's no question. A fight breaks out in a hockey game, everyone's on their feet. You know, Mickey Redmond talks about it all the time. You know, how interesting it is to the spectator. And when you're watching it on TV, yeah, the fighting is interesting. But nobody really wants anybody to get hurt. You just like to see it. The idea that someone could charge the mound, and if a pitcher doesn't take a knee, that all of a sudden it's a one-on-one battle with the pitcher and the hitter, that they're going to square up and fight? And what, until somebody gets tackled and then you break it up? I don't think it's feasible, and yet I'm intrigued by the idea, and I'm amazed that it's Pete Alonso that's bringing it up. And you know, Pete Alonso has been part of a bunch of brawls with the Mets, and I think part of his disdain for the way it works now is because he has been tackled from behind when his beef was with the pitcher, and the pitcher's beef was with him, and all of a sudden it's somebody or either a coach or a player that's sticking their nose into it. Now, what Pete Alonso doesn't recognize in this argument is that in hockey, oftentimes two guys start pushing and shoving, but it's another guy who ends up with the fight because that person would be outmatched and there's an enforcer on the ice. He's like, no, you can't touch our captain. I'll fight you. And then they go ahead and do that, which would be really interesting. Like if you've got a hitter that charges the mound and the pitcher takes the knee like Alonso wants them to, saying, I don't want to fight. But let's say the first baseman comes over and says, well, I'll be your Huckleberry. Are they allowed to fight? Kind of wild. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. What do you think of this wild, radical idea that Pete Alonso has about allowing fighting in baseball to fall along the same lines of hockey? He just wants it one-on-one. Doesn't want the benches to empty. Don't bring out the bullpens. Just one-on-one. Pitcher versus the hitter. And if you don't want to fight, you just take a knee. And it's off. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.